Hello and welcome to the second last episode.
My podcast, I do the intro, so back off, bitch. Okay. Hello and welcome to the second last episode of season 2, episode 29, which was supposed to be the season's favorites with my co-host, Meenal Viz. Unfortunately, she's no more a part of the show. Okay, just kidding. Unfortunately, this week, Meenal is a bit busy studying for an exam because she really cannot wait to be done with medical school, so failing a test wouldn't be ideal. And since I was quite certain that you wouldn't want to listen to just my voice for half an hour, I found a replacement for the time being, my husband Shane, who also happens to be our producer and overall tech guy. I say overall tech guy as if that's a real thing. This intro was stupid. We have to start once again.
Do you know why it was stupid? Because you didn't let me do it.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita and with me is my husband Shane.
Coming in live from our bathroom.
From our living room.
With a glass of wine.
There's no glass of wine.
Fine, Killjoy. See if I care.
Okay, I have to establish a few ground rules before we start recording, okay? You have to start taking this seriously at some point because, you know, this is a privilege to be recording with us. Okay, with me, for a podcast that so many people listen to.
Very few people.
What do you mean, very few people?
Are there like two people? Your mom and your dad?
Yeah. And then it's a privilege to replace Meenal on one episode.
You mean forever? Because she's lame. And I'm super awesome.
You do know that she's listening to this episode, right?
I don't care. She's in a different country. She can't do anything to me.
Okay, anyway, moving on. This was supposed to be a season's favorites with Meenal, where I was going to share, not I, we were going to share our season's favorites with everyone, the books we were reading or podcasts we were listening to, videos we enjoyed, etc. But I don't want to do that with you. I honestly don't know what we're going to do because we don't have a pattern or structure here. So I guess the most logical thing for us to do would be to start off with what was intended in the beginning. So how about we both each list one favorite from this season? Something that we enjoyed. Yeah? No?
Mm-hmm. You want me to do this, Meenal? You can do it.
My favorite was a tennis ball.
Wait, Meenal plays tennis, right?
Table tennis.
See, close enough. There's a table in there and we're good. I don't know what my favorite was. Wait, how long is the season?
It was from Feb. Okay, can I go now? Okay. Okay. I want to mention one thing that I'm sure is also your favorite, which is the TV show Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah. Once Upon a Time is pretty nice.
Yeah. We just started watching it and we're binge watching it, actually. We're pretty close to the end of season one, which is actually quite a remarkable feat in itself, you should know, because each season has 22 episodes and each episode is close to an hour long and we've been binging since Sunday, so we are pretty good at what we do.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we're going to have on our graves one day.
Oh, speaking of shows, we started watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as well.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice, except for the last two episodes we watched, which were terrible.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, one thing we need to remember, which is exactly the case with Friends as well, is that these are the shows that came out so long ago that you might find the jokes outdated now, but back then I'm pretty sure there was nothing else to compete with. So,
oh no, like generally the show is amazing. So I think it's the first three episodes that hooked us.
Yeah.
We watched them and they were amazing. Like,
yeah.
They were downright amazing. Like all the, like there were a few jokes that actually fell a little flat with us because we weren't from that generation and we lost the context.
Yeah.
But apart from that, that like the show was genuinely amazing. And then I think the last two episodes we watched,
yeah.
I think the highlight, execution and the plot was terrible.
Yeah.
But other than that, the show has been amazing throughout.
Yeah, it's just a little predictable. But what stood out for both of us was the fact that although it was predictable, we were still laughing. We caught ourselves laughing. And I think the highlight of even the two shitty episodes we watched, which were part one and part two for some reason.
Yeah.
Remember how Will Smith tells his cousin Carlton? Carlton says, what do you say when I give you an Oreo? And Will Smith says, oh, hey, Carlton.
Yeah, there were some really, really good jokes in there. Yeah. And the one, just like the one we just butchered.
I butchered.
Yeah.
I always butcher jokes.
Yeah. You're terrible at telling jokes. But yes.
Okay,
is
so
that it? Are we doing a single favorite? Are we not doing a lot of favorites?
Yeah, because it's kind of precious to me to do the favorites with Meenal, so I'm going to do that with her at some point. I don't know. This is the second last episode. This was supposed to be the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I'm not doing it with you, okay? Okay, so but since we don't have a structure to this episode, we don't know what we're doing. I think I want to ask you something, okay? This
publicly.
Is, I want to publicly ask you something, okay?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people who listen probably don't know the work that goes behind releasing every episode. And you're the one who does all the work. You're the one who edits everything. And you're the one who uploads everything. There's a lot of work that is being done. I wanted to ask you, how did you manage to learn audio editing? Because you're a software engineer and you like literally did not have anything to do with this.
So, yeah, that dates back to when I was a kid.
Hmm.
My parents used to give me, I think they used to go out of their way to give me opportunities to learn things.
Hmm.
And I used to be a very confused child. Like, I didn't actually know what I wanted to do with my life. So I ended up doing a variety of different things before I ended up in the commonality between all the things that I did was that I basically tried to make all the manual things that people did and automate that into something that a piece of software could do.
So basically your parents were running a company and you would go automate it and fire people?
No.
People lost their jobs because of you?
No, not exactly. Okay. That's a terrible way of putting it. But yes, that is how I learned. So one of those ventures where I actually learned things was audio editing.
Hmm.
And I think my parents, for a period of time, had an audio studio where you could record.
But they were a publishing company. Your parents owned a publishing company. Why did they need audio?
They had a lot of companies. And one of them actually required an audio studio. And they used to rent them. And at some point, it turned out that it was a lot cheaper to just build your own audio studio because they used to essentially use it every week.
Was it for their ads? Because I remember when I was back in India, soon after our engagement, your parents forced me to act in one of their ads as well. And
they did?
Yeah, and you were the one doing the video editing for the ad.
Wait, you were in an ad?
Yeah, it was one of those like wall-mounted fan things. And some.
Wait, you were in the ad?
Yeah, I acted.
How do I not remember this?
I acted.
Did you do? What was your line?
I didn't have a line.
Well, you just stood there.
I told your mom point blank that I'm not going to show my face because this is embarrassing.
Oh my god, were you like a car model?
No.
You're in a bikini and you're sexy? Was that it?
I showed my back. What I had to do was in your kitchen, in the kitchen in your house, I had to pretend as if I was cooking, which is so funny because I don't really. I had to pretend as if I was cooking and I had my hair tied up. And I think it was an ad for a pot or a pan. And at the same time, they had this wall-mounted fan sort of thing. And Kunyan uncle, your uncle, who works with a company, he would like stop the recording in between and say, Ankita, you have to turn the fan in between so people know that it's flexible. And I ended up hurting my hand doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, but I remember you were
You're terrible.
I remember.
That sounds terrible.
You were the one who edited those ads because they had like...
Yeah, I can't remember anything.
They had these 30-minute ad things that...
Yeah, so like ads were one of the things. I think they also had a bunch of video products in general. So they used to have a video... So they used to have a video production company and they used to have external clients who came to the company to create videos. They had a bunch of stuff going on and like I basically kicked that off essentially because when they started the original audio studio and they started the original video production company, I was the only person working in both of those. And then they hired people who I trained and told, hey, this is how you do things. And they picked it up and they ran with it.
So by what age did you already know how to do all this?
I don't exactly remember. I'm pretty sure I was still in school. It was definitely somewhere around 10th grade. So probably somewhere between 8th and 11th
14, 15?
Yeah, somewhere there. So that's when I actually learned most of the stuff.
You know, when I look at your life, one thing that no one can take away from your parents is the fact that they gave you so many opportunities growing up.
Oh, yes. I grew up very, very privileged. Even though I couldn't actually tell at the time, I grew up very privileged. Even though I was very frustrated my entire life because I was always, you know, trying to get more out of my life, I grew up very privileged. I had like a great education. And I'm not just talking about school. School was a bit weird. Because I didn't get a lot out of the school curriculum. I got a lot more out of doing stuff at school.
Yeah, there wasn't much scope for exposure as just a student of the system.
No, but school actually presented a lot of opportunities. The problem with the opportunities I had was that, like, an average student would not have been able to grab those opportunities.
Mm.
I got them because I was, I felt slightly outside the normal...
Out of place.
Yeah, I was a little out of place at school. But that presented me opportunities that weren't available for other students, which is great for me.
But the privilege that you're talking about, I just want to stress that the privilege that you got growing up, or you had growing up, I'm mostly looking at it also from the sense of the privilege of freedom, because you had way more freedom than any normal Indian kid would have. In the sense that the first computer you broke at your company, at your father's company,
yeah,
which probably cost him lakhs of rupees, he
yeah.
just got someone to fix it, and he asked you to watch while the
yeah.
other person fixed it, and you didn't get into trouble for that, and they never held back from giving you opportunities and freedom to just play around with all these hobbies and talents and then figure out what you wanted to do.
Yeah, so like that's a story I like telling a lot, because that's one of the ways in my life was really different to an average kid.
Yeah.
Because my dad ran a company where he actually needed computers to actually make his company more efficient. And around the time he wanted to buy it, the only way he could actually get it in his state was to get it via the government. He had to buy it from the government, and it was incredibly expensive. And it was like it was a piece of shit, right? Like, it wasn't like the high-end thing.
Right.
And it came through, and a couple of months in, I actually break it because I was playing games on it. And clearly, that's not what the original intention was for that machine when it arrived. Playing games on it, and I managed to break it. Now, in hindsight, it's a trivial thing to fix.
Yeah.
But back then, that required somebody to travel from across state lines to come to the city to fix the thing. I could have fixed that in 2 minutes if I knew how to.
Hmm.
The reality was that my dad was never pissed. He was a little disappointed. Actually, he was probably very disappointed, but he never showed it. He looked at me and he said, you fucked it up. Not in those words, right? But he was the gist of it. The
yeah.
gist was, you fucked it up. You need to learn how to fix it. When this person comes, you're going to watch and you're going to learn. And the reality is that I was a really young kid at that point. I didn't know I was into computers. I just played games at that point. Like, I didn't really do any work for the company. I didn't work for my parents. Like, at that point in time, I was just a kid playing games on the computer. But that moment changed everything, because it was so easy to learn for me. Like, I picked it up so quickly. And that's what really kicked off my journey and how I ended up here doing computer science and, like, being a problem solver for Amazon. Like, I ended up here because of that. That happened.
And can you, like, approximately tell me by what age you knew that you wanted to pursue computer science and programming in?
So, I started out wanting to be an Air Force pilot.
Really?
Yes, I wanted to fly fighter jets and shoot down other
fighter jets. How are you saying this on the podcast when you've been with me for 6 years and you never met... My dad is a fighter pilot.
Because that dream died very quickly.
Well, this reflects poorly on our marriage. You do realize that.
I don't care. But yes,
I didn't even know that. You know, I wanted to become a pilot as well, but I was too short for it and too stupid.
All right, I don't think I had that problem. I had a different problem, which is that a funny thing is that when I told my parents my dream, they immediately shot it down.
Why?
Because they were like, "Oh, you're not going to become a pilot." You know, like the normal parent thing where they're like, they trivialize your dreams because you're a little kid, right? You're
yeah.
a little kid saying, I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
To them, that sounds like bullshit.
Oh, my dad actually used to say he wanted to become the traffic police.
Yeah.
And everyone laughed about it. But then he did go into some sort of police, like not police, he went into
yeah,
the armed
military,
force.
Yeah.
yeah, military. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was something like that for my parents. But One thing my parents quickly found out about me was that I was a very, very stubborn child.
And I got
those properties from them, right? I'm like about twice as stubborn as both my parents put together.
Yeah.
And they are very stubborn people. So as soon as they laughed at my dreams, like as a kid, I was like, oh no, I'm going to try. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I quickly found out that in order to be a fighter pilot, I basically essentially need a physics degree. And that's the easiest path to get there.
Yeah. My dad had a physics degree.
Yeah. So like it's the easiest path to get there.
Yeah.
And I quickly found out that I hate physics.
Really?
It wasn't my thing.
I'm finding out so much about you now because I thought you loved physics.
No. Okay, so there's physics, you probably can be split into like three categories. And out of those, I liked one. And I liked it.
Oh, you like the electromagnetism kind.
No, I did not.
Really? No? Let's not go there.
So I liked one of them. I didn't love it. And the other two, I didn't particularly enjoy. And if... when I don't enjoy something, it's very hard for me to actually learn it. And I quickly learned, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to do this.
Mm.
And that dream died very quickly.
Mm.
And then I like plunged straight into my dad's company and I was helping him the best I could. As a little kid, there's not much I could do. But I quickly learned and I found out what my strengths were. And that's when my dad just started, hey, here's a problem. How would you as a person be able to solve it?
Right.
And contribute.
What kind of problem? Was it like a business problem or?
It was usually a business problem and he didn't usually pose it first. I would actually say, hey, I think you have a problem here.
Right.
Here's how I can actually contribute to solve it.
Right.
And most of those solutions got shot down because my dad was like, look, I know you can solve it, but I don't care. I can just throw money at this problem and it goes away.
Right.
Most of those got thrown away, but some he would actually latch on to. So like the audio studio thing, because it's India, right? Like Kerala at the time, there wasn't a lot of talent in like video production and audio talent.
Right.
Almost all of that went into the movie industry and it was very expensive and like really good people were hard to find. And whenever he had to spend money on like hiring these people, it would be exorbitantly expensive. And that was a major problem that he had. And I said, hey, this is like easy to do. This is the amount of money you have to spend. It's a one-time cost. You spend this and you get the money back within a month.
Right.
And it was very clear that we do. And essentially he did that. And then he still lowered the prices and he basically recouped his money at like 10 times over within a couple of months. And then he shut it down, right? After I had my fun.
Yeah.
Like he was like, oh, fine, I don't care about this anymore. Shut it down.
You didn't answer my question. With what age did you know you wanted to start programming in?
I didn't really know, man. Like, maybe 10th grade? I think that's around the time I knew programming was my thing.
Yeah, I remember 10th grade.
It was a slow roll, right? It took me a long time to figure out, hey, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. It took me a long time to figure out, hey, this is what I enjoy doing. It's not like one day I just figured out, oh, yeah, look, this is what I'm going to do.
Hey, good for me, right? When I decided to start a podcast and Meenal and I were looking for people to hire to do all of this work for us and you were like, I can do it for free.
Yeah.
Plus, it the control freak in me was very happy to learn this because I could sit up with you watching the editing process and maybe even giving my input in as to what can go.
What do you mean maybe?
Maybe.
You stop me while I'm editing and you tell me, no, I don't like it. Fix that. And I'm like, dude, that's normal. People breathe sometimes. Okay. just be chill. No. That needs to go now.
Well.
Every time. And this is why editing a single minute of the podcast takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why. She just sits there and she's like, no, fix that. This.
Well, are you happy now? We got someone else to do it from season 3 onwards. Are you happy?
Yeah, I am. It takes a lot of
love. Yeah, so I all this while we've been talking to each other, but this is a side note to the listeners that for season 3, we've managed to hire someone to do the editing and uploading and, you know, all the work for us because while Shane and I did enjoy... I want to say Shane and I did enjoy...
You did.
Well, I don't think I did either so much. I mean, it was good having the control over your content and being able to see if there's a sentence I didn't like, I can just cut it out if I'm sitting with you and editing. But when you give it to another person, you can't really do that. But the good thing is that we've been losing a lot of sleep over this, and we've been spending a lot of time every single week doing this. So I think the stress of it is a little too much. Yeah. I mean, I want to be like Meena now, because literally for Meena, like after the recording process is done, which in itself takes a few hours, at least 2 hours for us, where we prepare, we discuss what we want to talk about and then record. And then she's done, which seems like a luxury to me now. And I want to experience that too, which is why we're getting someone new as well.
But yeah, there's always a cost, right? Because you're giving up control.
Yeah.
For the sake of sanity, to be fair. It's essentially what it is.
A little more sleep and sanity.
Yeah, because the reality is you record on Wednesday, and then from that point on, we spend about 10 hours editing the podcast, and then we export, and then we have a lot of processing, and then we actually upload it, and then we write the description, we shove it into
a bunch of places to share it.
In the blog, in SoundCloud, in Facebook, and there's a lot of
Someone's going to take over all of that from now on. Not now on. This episode you will edit. The next episode, which is the last episode of the season, you will edit. And season 3 onwards, we have someone new coming in. Yeah. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Giving up control is difficult, though.
Yeah, but giving up control is never fun.
Okay, so you realized you wanted to do computer science. You can't blame me.
This is such a crappy interview. Because you just ask a question, you answer it anyway, and then you're like, is there something you'd like to add to this? I don't really want you to talk. I just want some background noise so that people don't get get annoyed by my grating voice.
Who's grating voice?
What?
No, but let me ask you a personal question.
Okay.
People have been asking me as well.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you write for my blog anymore? Like, there were a few blog posts that you did and then you stopped. Why?
Oh, I only write when I feel like it.
It's been over a year since you wrote.
Yeah, I haven't felt like writing.
No, actually, it's not been a year. You wrote last on my birthday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. That I did feel like. The one before that was basically I had a nightmare and I was writing it down.
Yeah.
And instead of writing it into my phone, I wrote it into the blog editing tool. And I was like, oh, well, I could just publish this, and I pressed publish.
No, before that, no, that's not what happened. What happened was that you had the nightmare, you told me about it, okay?
Yeah.
And I was so excited about it, I asked you if I can write about it, because it was quite like a fucked up nightmare.
Oh, no, that's the first one.
Yeah.
No, there was one in between, which we still haven't published.
So we haven't published that.
Yeah, there's
it's
one.
Sitting there in my editor. You need to publish it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
No, it reads a little bit crappy. I need to, fix it up a little.
Yeah, but your nightmares are quite
vivid,
and it's really fascinating to me how in your nightmares you actually see people you've never met in your life.
So I'm not entirely sure that's true. The reality is that there's some scientific study that basically says that it's an amalgam of faces that you've seen before.
Really?
Yeah, every face that you see is in some form something that you've seen before. So
I've never had a nightmare with someone I don't recognize. Recently, 2 days ago, I had not a nightmare, but just like a vivid dream of people being generally loud in our neighborhood. And turns out that those people were people we went to school with, like high school.
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't even thought about those people.
So when you have a dream, right? Do you never have a dream in which there's a person whose face you cannot see? It's obscured in some fashion.
Not really.
Really? No? Okay, I have a lot of those. Either I see the face very clearly, or the face is obscured in some fashion. So it's either going to be very dark and I can't see the face, or there's a shadow only across the face.
Yeah.
It could be brightly lit, but there's a shadow across the face, or there's no features on the face. So no nose, no mouth, no eyes, no eyebrow. It's very creepy.
Ooh.
And usually they have a slightly different skin color as well. It's like an orange-colored person.
You see Donald Trump!
No, it's just completely orange instead of the normal skin color. And that's
creepy.
Yeah, it's very creepy, but I used to have that as well.
Have you ever had a dream or nightmare with me in it?
I don't think I've had nightmares. I've had dreams with you in it.
Really?
Yeah. And we have imaginary fights and imaginary conversations and stuff. That's really weird.
One of the most vivid dreams I had was actually a nightmare of you.
Yeah.
And I still remember this was in my hostel in Cochin when I was doing my master's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was that you were traveling on a bus to come see me or something. And this was around the time of our anniversary, not anniversary, sorry, engagement, wherein you were traveling from the UK to India for our engagement ceremony. Yeah. And I remember that you were, in my dream, you were traveling on a bus and it's like a hill station or something. And somehow the bus falls into a ditch or falls off a cliff or something.
Okay.
And I'm there and you're not in the dream, but I just know that you were on the bus, right? And I'm waiting with all of these other people and their families and waiting to hear what's going on. And people come up from the ditch and they inform us that not even a single person survived.
Oh, that's terrible.
And that was so terrible. I remember waking up. I was sweating. I was crying. And I called you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 3 a.m. India time, which was close to midnight UK time. And I called you and I said, are you okay or something? And you clearly understood that it must have been a nightmare. And you just spoke to me for some time and I fell back asleep.
Yeah.
But I clearly remember that. That was the worst nightmare ever.
Actually, that just happened a lot, I remember. Because you
to me?
Yeah. No. Not nightmares in general. You used to actually wake up in your sleep.
Really?
Call me, talk for some time, and then forget to cut the call and just go straight back to sleep. Yeah. You used to do that a lot. Like, that's at least happened like 4 or 5 times.
You never thought that was weird?
Oh, no, I just thought,
why are you married to me?
You're generally weird. So I thought, oh, this is a pretty low. It doesn't cut the bar of like super weird.
It's not like screaming in your sleep.
Yeah, no. Well, I got that after we got married, right? Like you scream in your sleep.
Well, I used to scream in my sleep even before we got married. But it's only after we got married that I started screaming in my sleep while you were right next to me.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's terrible.
I have something called a scream log on my blog where I record. Did you know about this?
Yes.
Okay, where I record all of the scream incidents. And there was one that happened recently and I haven't recorded it because you told me that I screamed like 4 times in my sleep the other day.
Yeah, I was in the living room. I can't remember.
No. This time you were in the bedroom with me. You were on your laptop. I remember I screamed once, but you said I didn't scream once. I screamed 4 times.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Because there was this faint light from your laptop filling in the room. And I was turning away from it and sleeping, and I opened my eyes, and the curtain opposite me, close to the window, I saw that it was coming towards me or something, and I screamed.
Okay.
But then you said that the next morning I asked you, I screamed, huh? And you were like, yeah, 4 times.
Yeah, I can't remember this, but like, it's funny because I remember one incident where you're screaming a bunch of times,
mm-hmm.
and that's not this one. It's a completely different one.
Well, I've done that a couple of times, so.
Yeah, you're screaming, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Why are you married to me?
Compared to your usual weird, this is fine.
You think the screaming is fine?
You know something weird that you do that is not that is completely unacceptable?
Yeah, no. I don't want to know.
You told me this by accident, I guess, at some point. I snore in my sleep. She gets pissed off. And here's what she does. She lifts up my shirt. And then she kicks me with her cold feet.
I don't lift up your shirt.
But you aim for my skin anyway.
Yeah, it's not my fault that your skin is exposed. Okay, here's another thing I do when you snore.
Yeah.
I usually get woken up, but I would be turning the other way around. So in order to kick you, what if I have to turn, right? But I'm so lazy in my sleep that I'm turning the other way around, but I still kick you. And there have been times when I've had to kick you a couple of times.
Such a shit. Such a shit.
Why are you married to me then?
Stop now.
You never answer that question. Why are you married to me?
Oh,
speaking of marriage, we just celebrated our second wedding anniversary, which was yesterday for us because we're recording on Wednesday. It was on the 9th of May, Tuesday. So, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
That's really annoying.
I've been singing that song
all day. You sang it all the way back from the restaurant as well.
I sang it, I started singing on Monday, the day before the anniversary. But do you have any words of wisdom for people who are planning to get married soon? Anything you learned as a married man in 2 years of marriage?
Don't
you have any advice to dish out?
I don't have any fucking advice.
Okay, this is something that I didn't get you to commit on or to comment on during our anniversary, although I tried really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try on the podcast again because I have a feeling that you might actually reveal things, deep, dark secrets.
Okay.
Awesome. What advice would you give your younger self if you could just travel back in time and see him, and you know this is what your future is going to look like, mm-hmm. and you see him either worrying or lazing around or not giving a shit, what advice would you give him?
It's a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question.
The reality isn't that, right? Whether he gets there, okay, maybe if he gets some advice, maybe things will change. But the reality is that if he doesn't get any advice, this is where he'll end up. And life right now is pretty fucking sweet. Like, I don't want to change anything. So why would I actually give him advice? Oh, actually, if I can go back and send a message, I would actually advise him to buy fucking stocks.
Oh my
but,
god.
Like, that's something I could do. Like that.
Oh, yeah. Remember you told me about some company where you were going to...
Oh, that was Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to buy Bitcoin stock when I was in uni.
Bit what?
It's a virtual currency.
What is it called? Bit what?
Bitcoin. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, I wanted to buy it when I was in uni and... like
It was 80 pounds back then?
Yeah, it was something like that for like 100 stocks, 80 pounds, something close to that,
right.
I think. And that would have been $2 million right now.
$2 million?
Yeah, like that was pretty significant. So at the time, I wanted to buy it for completely different reasons. I wanted to buy it simply because I wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
Because it was a new and exciting thing. It's like, oh, look, Bitcoins. And I actually had a couple of Bitcoins. I think I had about 20 Bitcoins and I lost them because there's a wallet number and you have to like, it's a digital currency thing.
Right.
And I lost it. And at the time, I didn't really care that much. And, that was a mistake because now it's actually worth a shit ton of money.
If we had $2 million, we could buy a house here, one in London. And
would you buy a house though? I don't think so.
No, I think we would just travel, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't think we'd buy a house. Buying a house is like it's a commitment.
But getting a dog is a commitment and you're ready for that.
Getting a dog is a commitment because you can pick up the dog and you can leave.
But it's quite stressful for the puppy to just travel from place to place.
It's not like we're traveling every other week.
But the thing is, if we do, and if we want to, wouldn't... See, that's one reason why we've been pushing it this far, right? We've been talking about getting a dog from the time we got married, but we've been pushing it so far because it's a big commitment when you go traveling or when you do...
Okay, here's the reality of things, right? I want to get a puppy, and I actually want to get a bunch of puppies, and I want to get a bunch of kittens as well.
What?
No. Yeah, you don't get to say no to that shit. We're getting kittens as well. But the reality is we need a place with a garden or like some kind, we need some open space for them to be able to be comfortable inside our house. So we need to, we are getting kittens.
I was saying that to the audience.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to be able to.
Yeah. We need to be able to, get them. We need to have a place that's able to cater to them. And once we do, and we don't even have to buy the place, we can just rent the place and we can get them and that's fine. And when we move, we will move to a place where we can actually move them.
No, I'm talking about with my job, I can literally work from any corner of the world as long as there's good internet connection and as long as I'm married to you. I don't have to worry about internet because it's very important to what you do as well. So you're not moving to some place that you don't get internet.
Yeah, that wouldn't really work out.
Maybe. So you are really flexible. You can literally do anything in this world right now. If you want to jump jobs or if you want to pursue some passion project somewhere just because it's going to teach you some new skills, you can do that.
Yeah, I could up and leave.
And you could up and leave and I would leave with you because there's nothing holding you back.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. What if you find an opportunity, say, in Germany?
Yeah.
It would be so hard to move the poor doggy.
Dude, we're not moving every week. That's my point. Like, if we find a house there which can accommodate them and we have to find a house that can... It's adding restrictions, right? It's making moving difficult.
Yeah.
But it's not making it impossible is my point.
Hmm.
If you... Compared to actually buying a house, if you buy a house right now, you would have to sell it before you can move.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a lot more difficult than actually just finding a place where you can take your puppies and kittens and just moving. Yeah, and kittens.
Okay, I think this was a typical conversation between us where I worried about problems we don't even have and you still try to calm me down and console me that everything's going to be okay.
It's a full-time job.
Is it a hard job, though?
It's not a fun job.
It's not a fun job being married to me? You have one way to answer this question. Do it right.
It's not.
Okay, I forgive you.
You always forgive me anyway.
So I guess this is the end of this episode. I don't even know what the point of this episode was. It's just that I found a replacement
this was
for.
A lame episode.
Well, yeah, we'll see if people listen to us. But yeah, you were just a replacement for Mina, and this was just a replacement episode.
Oh my god!
It was quite like a brain dump, wasn't it?
That was hurtful.
Yeah,
you hurt my feelings.
Your feelings. Okay, I want to go on a tangent once again. There's a blog post on my blog where I don't remember what it's called because I generally don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I write about how people think it's weird that I write about my feelings
mm-hmm.
on my blog. Yeah. And I actually spell it out as feelings. I found that so funny. I was laughing so hard by writing it. But I had a conversation with this boy who asked me why I was not working in an office, right?
Yeah.
And I said, because I can work from home. Wouldn't you like that too? Like, wouldn't you like to work in your pajamas every day? And he said, but I don't get it. Is it because your husband doesn't let you go out and work? And I was like, oh my God.
To be fair. to be absolutely fair.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I described recently. Yeah, okay, so I have to explain this, I have to backtrack to a story that I told you previously, which is we were walking down an Edinburgh street. I don't know where it was. It was probably
yesterday.
Prince Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a woman who looked Indian, I think.
Right.
I think she was Indian.
Yeah.
She was in a very traditional kurta.
Yeah.
And she was walking towards us.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that she's actually smoking. And I'm like, how has nobody killed you yet?
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, like... That was my first thought, like,
yeah,
because I grew up in Trivandrum, and I don't think people would have been very accepting of a woman walking down the street
I can't imagine,
smoking.
Yeah, I can't imagine a woman in her kurta just walking down the street smoking, no.
It took me a couple of seconds to go, oh no, this is Edinburgh, it's chill, everybody here is chill.
Yeah.
Like, it took me a couple of seconds to, like, realign myself, and the reality is, because I grew up there, I've come to expect something of people, like, oh, this is how things are. It's shitty. It is what it is, right? Like, people are shitty. I've come to Edinburgh and I've had to realign myself because people are less shitty here. It's not like they're perfect. It's not like they're, like, fucking angels. No.
No.
They're less shitty. And from that guy's perspective, right, when he asked that question, he's so used to the situation because it's all that he's seen.
But it's so pathetic that
I know, but it's so common for him. He sees us so often that he can't help himself but assume, oh, she doesn't get to follow her dreams. She doesn't get to work the
job.
Then
what
am
I doing now?
No, but that's not what it looks like to him, right?
It's so unconventional what I do from Indian standards.
Yes.
So isn't that following your dreams more than...
No, but for him, he's looking at it and saying, that's unconventional. Why is it unconventional? He doesn't assume the best. He assumes the worst. Right?
Yes,
because
we do.
That's what humans tend to do. We always assume the worst.
Okay, I think I forgive him, but I'm still not going to... Like, he did send me a couple of messages after that, and I completely ignored them because I was like, I'm not...
Because you're a douchebag.
No, I'm not associating myself with someone who would ask me such a stupid
because
question.
Because you're not empathetic. It's not a stupid question. Come on, let's be fair.
It was so annoying when I was like...
Yeah, I know. It hurt you. It hurt your feelings.
It hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it hurt your very fragile sentimentalities, but whatever, man. Like, this is the reality of things, right? Like, the reality is that people don't have the freedom to do the things that they want, and it forces them to look at the world in a very cynical way. And the older they are, the more cynical they get. And that's a horrible world to live in. And you have to be empathetic, right? You have to be able to understand them and go, oh, well, like, sucks to be that person.
Well,
that's the way he looks at the entire world. He wakes up and sees the world that way. That's terrible. Because he doesn't know the flip side of how amazing life can be. And it's sad.
Yeah, I still don't really know.
Because you're a douchebag.
Yeah. I'm a horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah.
Who has feelings. So that's the end of that.
You interviewed me. You didn't ask me what advice would you give. Wait, what's the stupid question?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what advice? I have a feeling that you have something horrible to say here. That's why you're making me.
No, I'm thinking of a clever answer right now.
Okay. Okay, let's see how clever this is.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you give to someone younger than you or someone who's aspiring to become you?
So the first thing you have to do is that you have to reevaluate your choices that ended you in the situation where you thought it would be cool to end up like me.
What?
Oh, God, it's like...
Reevaluate
how,
your choice.
How is it possible that all of my jokes... Like, you're standing there and my jokes just fly over your head.
That's because I'm short. What did you say? I didn't get that. Reevaluate your choices that...
No, I don't want to explain the joke. Especially over...
Right. I got it.
Oh my God, you're like a two-life. Are you a person?
Okay, can I just explain it again so that I can confirm that I got it right? Because otherwise that would be really bad.
I'm so disappointed right now. I am so disappointed.
You think your current situation is not that great and you...
No, that was a joke, you jackass.
Yeah, I know, as a joke. Yeah. And you want that person to reevaluate his or her life choices to find out how he or she ended up being like you. See, that's how you butcher a joke.
Hold on.
Slow clap. Okay, well, I've been
in
trying.
In defense, I probably fucked up that joke when I delivered it. But anyway.
Yeah, you were not that great either.
Take it easy. But on a more serious note, so one of the things that I see with people in my field coming from India is that they tend to carry the same philosophy that we kind of teach them in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing of, here's a task and I need you to be able to do it. And it's mostly driven around, do you have the skill to do something? And it's like Excel. Do you know how to write Java code? Do you know how to use Spark? Do you know how to... It's some technology, right? It's always something very specific. And it's like, do you know how to do this particular thing? And that's a terrible way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make it clear that what you want to be, as somebody inside in the computer science field, you want to be a person who can solve problems. You want to be able to look at a situation and say, that is terrible. I can make it better.
Hmm.
And you have to be a person who can say that, hey, you are spending X amount of hours trying to solve this particular problem. I can make that situation better. I can make it so that you don't have to spend this time anymore to get to that solution. You want to be a problem solver, not somebody who knows Java.
Hmm.
Because every other thing that comes outside of problem solving, you can learn very quickly. You can learn Java. You can learn a new programming language in a couple of weeks. All of this is fine, but problem solving is a skill that is very hard to get, and that's something that you should focus on right away, like as soon as possible. Drop everything that you're doing. Focus on problem solving as a skill set. Like, know how to solve problems.
So you're basically putting the message out there that you shouldn't be aiming to just pass an exam with your knowledge of, say, a programming language, or prepare just for the questions that could be asked, or prepare just for an interview in that way, but to just expand your horizons a lot more.
Yeah, it's more that I'm afraid that the way we teach kids in school is terrible. I'm afraid that it's terrible.
Mm.
I'm not absolutely certain that it's terrible, but from everything that I've seen, I have seen nothing to say that it's actually helping students.
Right.
Right, because I don't think that our curriculum helps students be great engineers.
Mm.
It feels like we're forcing students to actually mug up and learn garbage that they can't actually use, because the field is changing so rapidly. Like, things change. Like, Java might be the thing today. Like, tomorrow it might be Node.js. You might actually join a company that is doing everything in Scala. If you know how to solve problems, you just go in there and you pick up whatever the hell you have to do and you just do it. Because you know how to solve problems.
Right.
Because you're not that guy who knows Java. You're the guy who can solve problems. So...
Plus, at the same time, I feel being a little more willing to learn, even if you're not completely thorough with something.
Go out of your comfort zone. Do stuff that you think you might not enjoy. You never know what will happen.
Because I remember when we were recruiting for someone to help out with the websites and help us do work on the websites and help, you know, in general, because you handle most of it, but at least a little help. And we spoke to someone the minute you were interviewing this person.
Yeah. And I post the problem.
Yeah.
And I post the problem to them and outright off the bat, they said, no, I don't know how to do that. But the reality was that I had talked to this person before, and I knew exactly what they knew how to do
yeah.
and how to do. And I knew that this person could just like spend 2 hours reading up on the new technology that we were using.
Right.
And they could just transfer their skills. It was so easily transferable. It's like a 2-hour thing that they could just spend reading.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, I could tell this person that this is the case and just hire him.
Hmm.
But the reality is, I don't want to.
I don't think that...
I don't think this is the kind of person that I want to be working with. But then we got lucky, right? You talked to like...
But more than you wanting to, do they want to?
Yeah.
Do they want to spend 2 hours just maybe just, you know, thinking about this and realizing that this can be done?
Yeah, well, it's more about... for me, it was more about, do I want to work with this person? Because a person who's unwilling is inflexible and who's unable to like go out of their comfort zone is difficult to work with. But we got lucky.
Yeah.
We found a couple of people who were very interested in helping us out. And I think your friend, was he a cousin?
No. My friend, Abhishant, who was the first guest we interviewed on Desi Outsiders, his younger brother studies in IIT Madras and... he writes for Feminism India. Through him, we found software engineering students.
I think we found two people.
Two people, software engineering students in IIT who are going to be helping us, which is great.
Which is great. Yeah. They're keen to start, which is amazing. Obviously, if you're interested in helping us out, if you'd like to work with like latest web technology and stuff like that, if you just like to learn stuff, just come, ping us, let us know, and we'd be happy to have you on board. But yeah, like it's about having that mentality that you want to learn, right? It's just keep an open mind, come in and contribute to the community. You'd be doing us a massive favor.
And with that, we will end this episode.
Yeah.
You can follow us. I really do hope you enjoyed this conversation because, Meenal got replaced by a man this time with a manly voice.
Just a manly voice. I'm not as strong as Meenal, let's be honest. Her muscles are as thick as I am. She could just breathe in my direction and I will fly away.
Oh my god, Meenal, are you listening to this? I did miss you, Meenal. Shane is not a replacement, but he did a pretty okay job.
You hurt my feelings.
My feelings. But Meenal, tell me what you think of Shane later. And you guys.
Meenal loves me. I don't know what she's talking about. Meenal and I are best buds. You don't like you though.
Shut up.
You're a terrible person.
So, Meenal's going to tell me what she thought of Shane, and you guys have to tell me what you thought of this episode. You can do that by sending in an email to mail@desioutsiders.com, or you can leave us comments, messages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @TheDesiOutsiders. So, until next week, when we will get Meenal back finally, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Shane.
And we are not the Desi Outsiders. It's half Desi Outsiders plus Shane. Okay then, bye.
This entire episode was terrible. Do you want to start all over again?
Shut up.